Well, good morning, LifePoint Online. Great to be with you today. My name is Corey, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Plain City campus. And today we are in week two of our series called Playlist, where we're in the book of Psalms. And much like we create musical playlists to encapsulate our emotions and our feelings and different seasons of life, the Psalms communicate different emotions, feelings, failures, hopes, thoughts, and circumstances of those who wrote them. And the result is the Psalms have something for every single one of us. And not only that, it means the Psalms has something regarding every season of life that we go through. That's why our big idea for this series is that God writes the lyrics of our souls in the Psalms, that within their writings, the Psalms show us that God has this greatness and this faithfulness to us in our times of need, that God is guiding his people with steadfast love, and that God is far above all, yet he is personally with us in the journey of life. So each week, we're taking a look at a different genre of Psalm and seeing what it means for the Christian life. Now today we'll be looking at Psalm 42 and 43. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, I would invite you to go make your way there and follow along with us. And we're looking at Psalm 42 and 43 because most scholars believe when they were originally written, they may have been one psalm or at the very least meant to be read together. And Psalm 42 and 43 fall under the genre of a lament psalm. And a lament psalm is a song or a prayer given to God in times of trouble, in times of pain or suffering, in times feeling distant from God or feeling abandoned. And what's common with the psalms of lament is that they generally begin in a negative place. They begin in a place of desperation, reaching out and petitioning God for help, but then they turn back to God in trust and thanksgiving by their end. So with that in mind, let's jump into Psalm 42. And Psalm 42, some believe, is written by the sons of Korah, but there are other scholars like Matthew Henry that think it was intended for the sons of Korah to sing, but it was truly written by King David, that David is the author, and potentially it was written when David's son Absalom was trying to kill David, and David had to run for his life, and David was exiled from the house of God. He was exiled from his people. But regardless if David was the author or not, the heaviness of this psalm, the relatability of this psalm is the same to us today. So let's begin by looking at verse 1, where it says, "As the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" Verse 4, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng or the multitude of people and lead them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." Now, we're going to talk about the first two verses in a moment, but you can feel and see from the get-go the psalmist's lament here, that in verse 4, he begins describing how he is far from home. And he's remembering what it was like to worship in the house of God, the temple or the tabernacle. And he's recalling what it was like to worship with the people of God. This psalmist is longing to connect with that again, to connect with God in the temple, to connect with God's people there. Simply put, he's missing church, right? He's missing worshiping with others, singing praises to God with others. And he says he especially misses the wonderful holidays that mark the Jewish calendar, The excitement, the praise that came with keeping the feasts or the festivals of Passover and Pentecost and tabernacles. It would be like us recalling what it's like going to church on Good Friday or Easter or Christmas Eve or Christmas. And the thought of these things, the thought of better days, has made him more sad, more depressed. He's dropped even further lower down, causing him to feel like God is absent. And he paints this picture for us, describing himself like a deer in such a need for water that is gasping, it's craving, it's panting for its thirst to be quenched. And the psalmist says, hey, this is what my soul feels like. In other words, he is in a place of spiritual dryness, a place where he just doesn't feel that God is real to him and is difficult to engage his head and his heart, that every day is a grind, that he's trekking forward, but it seems like he's getting nowhere. Now, he obviously knew what it was like to be near and experience God, as he shared with us, but he is now in this spiritual drought. And I think it's a reminder for us that dry spiritual seasons will come. The dry spiritual seasons will come. Have you ever found yourself there? I know I have. Found yourself where you feel far from home, far from worship, far from happier days. It's like God is so distant from you. And it may not necessarily be that we're physically far away like the psalmist is here, but our head is distant, our heart is distant, our soul is distant. And maybe in those moments we're asking, God, where are you? And the more you think about the past and better times and happier times, the more sad you get. The psalmist lets us know here, which I think is important and a bit encouraging, at least to me, hopefully to us. The psalmist lets us know that we're not the only ones who have ever felt this way. That all of us have had or will have these times where we feel distant from God. That spiritual dry seasons will come. And I think that's important for us to see here and to understand here. Because I don't know about you, for me in my life, here's what the enemy does. He makes me feel like I'm the only one who experiences certain things. He makes me feel like, hey, you're the only one who struggles. You're the only one who's going through a dry season. You're the only one who has ever felt distant from the Lord. But the psalmist here, in his authenticity and his transparency, reminds us that dry spiritual seasons are not something that's unique just to us, that we all go through them. And he also shows us that when these seasons of drought come, it doesn't necessarily mean something is wrong with us. That yes, it's true, sometimes our fellowship with God is broken because of how we have sinned or a need for repentance in our life, or we have chosen to move distant or walk further away from God. However, that's not always the case. Sometimes you're praying and you're reading the Bible and you're in community and you've done nothing wrong, yet we still experience a dry season. This is exactly where the psalmist is here in these two chapters. And his words and his details and his examples, they draw us in and they allow us to understand this lament and how he's feeling. And just how is he feeling? Look at verses 5 and 6 with me. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me?" Verse 6, he says, "My soul is cast down within me." He says these same words, repeats these same feelings 2 more times in these two chapters, right? Once again, he does it a second time in verse 11, and he repeats it again in verse 5 of chapter 43. And he's saying, hey, I feel cast down as if I've been thrown down to the ground. I've been made low. He's discouraged. There's inner turmoil, right? He has inner unrest. And his heart is broken. And not only is he in this low emotional state about himself, but listen to how he feels about his relationship with God at this time. Verse 9, he says, "Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of my enemy?" In verse 2 of Psalm 43, he says, "Why have you rejected me?" Again, he says, "Why do I go about mourning because of my enemies?" He's in this emotional and mental state, not just because he's far from home, not just because he's experiencing a spiritual drought, not just because he feels far from God, but the things are compounded further because his enemies are after him. His enemies are making fun of him and making fun of God, and they're oppressing him and they're lying about him. And it's because of this, the psalmist now feels as if God has forgotten him or rejected him. And what I think is interesting in the midst of all of this to take note of is that in his current state, the psalmist's emotions and his feelings, they're all over the place. They're up and they're down. The pendulum is swinging from one extreme to the other. Right? Listen again to the verses we just read, but listen to them in their full context. Verse 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." Verse 6, "My soul is cast down within me, but I will remember you." Verse 9 of chapter 42, "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why am I in a state of mourning?" Verse 2 of chapter 43, "For you are the God whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why am I still mourning?" He goes on and it goes from, "Why am I so discouraged?" Right? Can you feel the swing of his emotions? "Why am I so discouraged? I will hope in God. Why is my heart so sad? I will praise God again. God, why have you forgotten me? You are my rock. Why have you rejected me? You are my refuge." He's on this emotional roller coaster where I'm good and I'm not good. I'm okay and I'm not okay. I trust you. Have you forgotten about me? Have you ever been there? I know I have. I know I have. It's been those moments where it's, "God, I praise you and I love you." And then all of a sudden, "God, sickness is running through our house. We haven't been healthy for weeks. I'm at my wit's end. I am so worn out. God, I can barely function." Or "God, you are so amazing. But then, God, my kids are off the rails. I don't know what to do. We're not sleeping. Our home is a wreck. Life is out of control. I'm losing my mind. God, I'm so discouraged. God, I don't know if I can make it to tomorrow." Or, "God, I praise you. And God, I love you and I choose to follow you. But then, God, those around me, they're just crushing me. It seems like no matter where I turn, I'm an outcast because I have chosen to follow you. That I'm looked over, that I'm an outsider, and sadness is consuming me. God, have you forgotten about me?" We all take that ride on the emotional roller coaster that life and its circumstances bring. And the psalmist is there in a big way. And notice in the midst of this emotional ride, he asks why. Within Psalm 42 and 43, the psalmist asks why at least 8 different times. He's firing all his emotions. He's firing all his questions at God all at once. And I think that's important for us to see because I don't know about you, right? There's times I've been made to feel guilty or wrong or less than for pouring all that I have out to God, or genuinely asking God why. But the psalmist shows us here that God can handle our emotions and God can handle our why. Right? Let that soak in for a moment. Can I repeat it again? God can handle your emotional roller coaster. God can handle you asking Why? Because you see, not just here in Psalm 42 and 43, but all of the Psalms show us that there's no lament, there's no emotion, there's no cry, and there is no why that God cannot handle. That you do not have to hold back with God. The psalmist shows us that we're not just to grin and bear it, but it's okay to tell God how we feel. That's okay to ask God our questions. It's okay to even ask God why. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you." Lamentations 2:19 says, "Rise during the night and cry out, pour out your hearts like water to the Lord." 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your anxieties on the Lord because he cares for you." You see, we can tell God how we feel. We can bring God our why. We can unload our pain to God. That he can handle all of our anger and all of our sadness and all of our shock and all of our fear. And here's what will happen when we do that. God will take these spiritually dry seasons, and he'll begin to grow us in our faith, and he'll begin to grow us in our relationship with him. That in the dryness and the drought, God is not distant, that we can run to him because God says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you, that I am with you always, even till the end of age." That in the midst of our ups and our downs, that God is steady even when we are not. That the Lord does not change. That with God there is no variation. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That in the midst of our doubt, that God exhibits a steadfast love to us even when we waver. The Bible says each day the Lord pours out his unfailing love on us. That there's no power in the sky above or the earth below. Nothing in all creation can ever separate us from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The psalmist and the psalms show us that God does not want us to bottle up things within us. That he doesn't want a fake response from us to him. But he wants us to run to him, to pour out our hearts to him, to be authentic and honest with him. So when we're there, the question for us today is this: what do we do when these seasons of lament and these seasons of spiritual dryness or emotional upheaval or wondering why come our way? I think we see the psalmist do several things that are important and applicable to us, especially during these seasons like we're talking about. We see the psalmist lean into community. He desires to worship with God's people again. We see the psalmist lean into encouragement. He's seeking encouragement to be uplifted from the oppression of his enemies. We see the psalmist leaning into praise. He's desiring to worship the Lord again. But the thing that stuck out the most to me was the psalmist's desire to lean into a thirst that only God can satisfy. To lean into a thirst that only God can satisfy. You see, thirst is a strong craving for something. And thirst is that craving that drives us to something. And in the seasons of lament and spiritual dryness, our thirst is heightened, isn't it? And it's easy to go looking for things that satisfy our thirst outside of God during that time. Years ago, I don't know if you remember, the soda Sprite had a popular slogan where they said, "Image is nothing, thirst is everything, obey your thirst." Great marketing slogan. Terrible way to live life. Because you see, many things in life bend our thirst in the wrong direction. Many things in our life direct us away from a God. They point us toward things that promise to satisfy, but never truly will. And the thing is this, that everyone thirsts. And all of us will quench that thirst with something. And when we're down, and when we're depressed, and when we're in a dry season, right, in that period of heightened thirst, it's easy to turn to things like pleasure, people-pleasing, entertainment, various substances, money, power. Things that promise to quench our thirst but never truly satisfy. So we must learn to lean into a thirst that God, only God, can satisfy. And to get there, we must learn that we are not called to obey our thirst. Rather, we are called to choose our thirst. Remember verse 2? In describing his thirst as a deer that pants for the water, the psalmist says what? My soul thirsts for God. My soul thirsts for the living God. Just like the psalmist, when we experience the drought and the dryness and the distance, it's more than just obeying our thirst. It's choosing to aim our thirst at God, the living God. In the New Testament, Jesus himself says in John chapter 7, in verse 37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Jesus, in his conversation with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus himself gives us an invitation where he says, choose to direct your thirst at me, Jesus. And so what we see is it's not a question of if you and I will thirst, because everyone thirsts. The question is what, or maybe more importantly or better, who will you and I choose to quench our thirst with? The psalmist, in the midst of this spiritual desert, he directs his thirst at God. We can read all throughout. He says, my soul thirsts for you, O God. God, I hope in you. God, I shall praise you. My salvation is you, for you are my rock. You are my refuge. I will go to your altar. We are not called to obey our thirst. We're called to choose our thirst, aiming it, bringing it to God. So as we close today, when the seasons of lament and dryness come, in the midst of all of our questions and all of our doubt and all of our turmoil and all of our pain, what's quenching your thirst? Who is quenching your thirst? What is your thirst aimed at? The psalmist in his lament teaches us not to back away from God, but to lean into God, and to lean into God in a way that shows us that only God can truly satisfy. Knowing that God will take these seasons of lament or spiritual dryness and grow us in our faith and grow us in our relationship with him. So as we wrap up right now, how is God speaking to you today? Maybe today it's simply knowing that you have permission to lament, that you can go to God, that you can bring all your anxieties, all your requests to God, because God can handle it. Maybe for you today, it's choosing to aim your thirst in the direction of God, knowing, like the Bible says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Maybe today for you, it's praying to God to give you a greater thirst for him, learning to lean into him, crying out, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Or maybe for you today, it's turning to God through faith and trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and drinking in the free gift of eternal life. Stepping to Jesus, the one who says, come to me, all who labor and all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So the seasons of lament will come for us. The seasons of spiritual dryness will come for us. God can handle us when they do. God will use them to grow us in our faith. It's in those moments, lean your pain into him, lean your doubt into him, lean your struggle into him. Choose to thirst in him and allow him to quench your soul in a way that only he can. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you today for the reminder that when these difficult seasons come, when the desert, the drought, the dry seasons come, it's not something unique to us. Lord, that we're not all alone in that, that others experience the same. But what great encouragement, Lord, that you will take those seasons and you will use them for your good. You will use them to grow us in our faith and our relationship with you. God, I pray today that for anyone that's there or the day in the future that we get there, that we would truly lean into you, that when the world and everything else comes calling and says, hey, direct your attention over here, we'll take care of it, or that we'll be reminded that we need to direct our eyes, our heart, our mind, our thirst toward you and you alone, and watch how you will always quench and supply and take care of us in our time of need. Lord, we praise you for that. We love you for that. That you will always be our rock. That you will always be our refuge. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.